Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Think about this question. What words do you dread hearing the most? When I was in school, it was, take out a sheet of paper. We were about to have a pop quiz. It was one thing to know there was going to be a spelling test on Friday, or finals were going to be in 2 weeks. It was quite another to have a test surprise me. This morning, you're in the midst of a test. The test has two questions. The questions you have to answer every day. The questions have to do with loving other people. The questions have to do with following Jesus and how that following flows out of your life into the lives of other people. A follower of Jesus is to love others as Jesus loves. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. John writes, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and him is Jesus. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." The first question on the test is are you living in moral obedience to Jesus? Are you obeying what God says? In verse 3, John makes a very clear statement about knowing Jesus. To know that you know him, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. If you think back over your life and you remember those days, maybe that time when you were a child and grandma took you to church and you remember whatever the preacher was saying and you just felt, you got emotional about it, and maybe it was vacation Bible school and whoever was leading the service said, if you want to know Jesus as your Savior, just raise your hand. And you raised your hand and you were emotional that time with grandma and whatever. But you haven't been living out what God says, then you don't know him. That's what John says. If you want to know that you know him, keep his commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? John was dealing with a vein of thinking that had appeared that looked at Jesus and their lives in error. Their error was twofold. Theologically, they were pursuing intellectual knowledge for its own sake. And we have that kind of going on today when people talk about, I know what Scripture says, but I also am going to live the way I want to live. The other error that they were making was that ethically they regarded sin as unimportant. And we have that going on today as well. I can do whatever I want because God has to forgive me. If that's your attitude, then folks, be careful. Now, I do believe that God is a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. But take stock of your attitude. Take stock of what you think he has to do. Now remember, ethics is what you should do and morals is what you actually do. And what these people were saying is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you live, but it does. A real knowledge of God contains an intellectual, a moral, and a spiritual component that cannot be separated. It cannot be separated. And John points out the one who says, I know Jesus, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And if you think that requires perfection, as we understand the word perfection, let's go back into chapter 1. In verse 5, he says that this is the message that we have heard from him, from God, from Jesus, and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness. In verse 6, he begins a series of if statements. If we say that we know Jesus and yet walk in darkness, we lie. And if we say we have no sin, we lie to ourselves. And so far, that's pretty dark and condemning. But look at verse 9, because that's where he begins to way out of the darkness and into the light. He says, if we confess our sins, Jesus will forgive us. Now, here's what he means by confess. Oh, man, I'm sorry I got caught. No. When we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God that what we have done has hurt him because he loves us, and it has hurt us because we bear the result of the sin. And so in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, Jesus will forgive us. And our sin keeps us from saying that we are not in need of a Savior. Chapter 2 begins with the glorious truth that Jesus is our advocate. And he uses a word there, propitiation, that means this, that he is not only the sacrifice that will take away our sin, but he is the one who presents the sacrifice. I've often said that he's the gift and the gift giver. He's the one who sacrificed his blood, his body, to die for us. And he's the one that says, I'll go. He is the one. And in verse 4, John is quoting someone who says, I have come to know Jesus. I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments. And what does John say? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If that person, if someone says, I know Jesus, but does not live in moral obedience to him, that person is a liar. The person who keeps the words of Jesus has the love of God in him. So if you say you know Jesus, you ought to live as Jesus lived. Are you living in moral obedience to him? When we lived in South Carolina, if we wanted to go out to eat or do any shopping, we went back into Camden via Highway 1. Now let me just say to you real quick that Highway 1 is still a major north-south corridor in this country. When you got to the edge of town, it turned into a four-lane highway. There was a series of traffic lights, but they were pretty far apart, and almost you could guarantee that if a car went by you, it was law enforcement. And we would often say to ourselves, how in the world do they think we're going to obey the speed limit if they're speeding? The way you live in obedience or disobedience to Jesus comes to bear on other people's lives. If you are living in sin of some kind, that will have an effect on others. For one thing, your children and your grandchildren won't know how to make wise choices in how they live. I learned how to love my wife and to love my family by watching my father love my mom and love me. And if you're living in sin, then I just encourage you, I plead with you, go to your advocate. Go to your advocate and confess your sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Sometime in the last couple years, I happened to come across a couple that It was one of those really cold, weather was about to really get nasty days. And they happened to come to the church office and, well, we're here and we don't have a vehicle and we're staying in a motel and could you help us with something to eat? And so I thought, you know what? So we go down to Ingles, and it was one of those days that everybody was trying to buy their milk and bread because snow was coming. Yeah, we're married and all this and all this. And I don't remember if it was that night because I talked to them two, three night times in a row. But one of the times that I ran into them, I said, be ready to go at 6 o'clock. You're going to come eat supper with us. And so that's what we did. Kim and I had them over. Went and picked them up, took them back. Oh, they've been in church, and they've done this, and they've done that, and they've done everything. But the more I talked to them, the more I realized that what they were telling me wasn't true. Until I got to the point where I basically just looked at them and said, what's going on? Well, we're not married. We're not this. We're not that. And if that's how we deal with our lives before the Father, then it's no wonder that we don't understand forgiveness. Because he says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. There's one more question to answer on the test. The second question on the test is, do you have a genuine love for others? I accused Jack when he sat down a minute ago of stealing my thunder because he did a good job with it. Do you genuinely want the best for others? In verse 7, John says that on the one hand, he is not writing anything new to them about loving others. We are to love others as we love ourselves. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. But on the other hand, there is a new command. And the command is true in Jesus, and it is to be true in you. We are to love others as Jesus loves. The one who was willing to lay down his life for people. We are to love others that way. If you are in the light of knowing God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, any darkness left in you is passing away. You know, we walk into a dark room and flip on the light, and it's light, right? Correct? Think about it, one of the foggy mornings that we enjoy here in Western North Carolina. The sun is coming up and you begin to see the light, but yet you still see darkness. And the higher the sun gets up, you begin to see more light until finally the sun wins out. And that's what John is talking about here. That if we come to know God, if we come to follow Him, then the light of knowing God, any darkness left in you is passing away. And the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness. In darkness. John is picking up again the idea that love is not just something felt, it is something demonstrated. The one who loves others is the one who lives in the light. So if you do want the best for others, no, let me rephrase that. If you do not want the best for others, if you hate them, you're not willing to lay down your life for them. And the one who is not willing to do this does not know where he is headed because of the darkness. Because in fact, he is blinded by the darkness. So if we say we know Jesus as our Savior, we must do as Jesus does. This past week, I went to the cardiologist. The doctor and the nurse both agreed that I was going to be the healthiest patient they saw that day. And I probably was. And he asked me about my exercise regime, and man, my chest got kind of puffed up, and I, you know, everything was good. I said, yeah, I'm really exercising, and we just came across a treadmill recently, and that morning I happened to walk on the treadmill, and I told him how fast, and man, I was really feeling good about myself. And he said, well, I had this 84-year-old patient. Now, it gets better. That could walk 5 miles in an hour. I wasn't feeling too good about myself. What he was saying was, and he went on to describe it, he said, just for a few seconds, if you have to, at a time, just push yourself a little more. Just push yourself a little more. See, it doesn't matter if I can outwalk you, which I dare say a good chunk of you I probably can. What matters is, can I outwalk him? And no, I cannot. Sometimes we look at or think about loving other people, and we're watching other people love other people. Well, I'm more loving than they are. We are to love others as Christ loved us, as Christ loves us. You know, we just kind of flippantly talk about Jesus being crucified as if that's just really no big deal. It was a big deal. And that's how much he loves us. So you are not to compare yourself and the love you have for others to me or anyone else. Because if you do, you will think you're doing what's expected of you. The question is do you have a genuine love for others? Do you love others as Jesus loves? Can I just say to you, as a Southern boy who grew up in one of the communities in this country that had the last segregated public place in America, that slavery and racial hatred because of race is a blight on the soul of the South, and that until we own that and confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and choose to love other people as Jesus loves them, that we're in trouble? We are to love others as Christ loved us. He laid down his life for others. Two questions. Are you living in moral obedience to Jesus? Are you living by what the Bible says to live? Do you have a genuine love for others?